The reading is a poem that I wrote about 1992, I think. My call to adventure. During the night, I awaken from a dream, remembering a call to adventure, a call to quest. What, me? No, never. Who, me? No, never. I'm no minister. I'm no pastor. Call someone else. I'm the wrong person. Attending the service of the living tradition, I weep uncontrollably, remembering a call to ministry. What? Me? No, never. Who? Me? I couldn't. I'm no minister. I'm no pastor. Call someone else. In conversation with a divinity student friend, I rationalize, remembering a call, that call to adventure. What, me? Well, maybe. Who, me? Maybe, someday, call back again. Remembering the call, I ponder. Remembering the call, I decide. Yes, I will answer the call to adventure. Yes, I will go. Yes, now. I will take the first step. Thanks for calling back. 13 years ago, I formally accepted that call to ministry. I'm not sure if I really knew what I was signing up for. This was after 4.5 years of seminary and hospital chaplaincy training in Edmonton and an internship here in Vancouver. None of that was easy. Some of it, like the year I was a counseling intern, was very challenging personally. I confess that I thought I had lots of preparation. After all, I had contributed to the work of church in my home congregation in almost every way. No, I had not been treasurer, but I had run the canvas 1 year and helped with almost all of the other tasks in the congregation. We had even weathered a conflict over ministry while I was past president. I was not immune to the all-too-common illusion that I thought I could do it better. The service of ordination was a special event. Indeed, it was much like the installation we held here a few months after I was called. Al and I, with our 2 cats and a dog, had already moved to Newfoundland for my first congregation. So we flew back for the weekend. I remember the music, including the hymn we just sang, Wake Now My Senses, and the choir moving into a chorus line following the recessional. It was a very special day. Some background on the meaning of ordination in the Unitarian tradition is in order. In the Anglican and then Congregational tradition, out of which Unitarianism evolved, the church hierarchy had determined who would be ordained. Ordination was seen as an indelible mark of God upon the individual. Such a person has a unique relationship to God, one not available to the ordinary person in the pew. To be ordained was to be set apart, to be holier than most. Our tradition represents a radical change. The hierarchy was flattened. Now it is the congregation as a whole that decides who should be ordained. It is true our association sets standards for acceptance into its ministerial fellowship and examines candidates, but exceptions are made even today. In our tradition, it is the gathered congregation that votes to ordain. It is the congregation that says, we place our trust in this person to be a minister. You will recognize the same process at work for the call of a minister as when I candidated here in April 2003. I was not appointed to be Beacon's minister by a bishop or other denominational official. The congregation voted on whether to accept their search committee's recommendation for minister. At such moments, The trust between minister and congregation is confirmed. The members of Westwood Unitarian Congregation affirmed me with these words. We, the members of Westwood Unitarian Congregation, recognize your calling to the ministry of our faith. By these words and by the authority of our common spirit, we ordain you, Katie Steinsather, to a life of service in the Unitarian Universalist ministry. Wherever you are called to serve, we charge you to preach and live by the principles of our shared faith and to celebrate the wonder and mystery of life. May your wisdom be the mingling of heart's passion and mind's reason, and may your arms widen in compassion. May you speak the truth in love and hear the counsels of integrity and wisdom. May you bring a ministry of love and justice to a world in need of a transforming power, and may it be a ministry of healing. May you be steadfast in watchfulness, and may you never become so fearful or so weary that you abandon your ministry. These words remind us that ministry is about service, service to not only the congregation, but to the wider community. But we have not yet answered the question, what is ministry? Ministry is many, many things. We all do it. It is serving on our board of trustees and helping to draft the budget for the upcoming congregational budget meeting. Ministry is arranging the chairs on Sunday morning and calling folks to see if they could volunteer for something. Everything we do around here, from going to choir rehearsal and learning how to sing better under our new choir director, to volunteering in the religious education program, to setting up our altar, to volunteering at the food bank, all of these are ministry. Showing up on Sunday, as you have done this morning, thank you, contributes to the community. We all make contributions to the work of this church. All of this may seem mundane, trivial even. How can this be ministry? We all do that stuff. Some of us even preach on Sundays. What is professional ministry about? What did I step into that day 13 years ago? I'm inclined to ask, what kind of mud? It's been said that ministry is one of the last generalist professions. Any number of roles are wrapped up in it. Prophet, preacher, teacher, priest, pastor, counselor, community leader, administrator, volunteer coordinator. There are more. So many that no two ministers can possibly fulfill the role in the same way. All of us internalize the experience we have had of ministry in our lives and expect the current minister to be rather similar to that internal image. Me too. Looking at the etymology of the word minister reveals that it is a practice or discipline of service. It is also an office, a task, a job. The first meaning is all that stuff that we do together. The second is a role taken on by some of us, although that task only happens within the first one, within the dance of relationship. It is said that good congregations and good ministers create each other. Certainly, the relationship between minister and congregation shapes each of us. Like two dancers moving in close synchrony, it is the particular chemistry between minister and congregation that creates the community. At its best, the spirit of community inspires and nurtures us all. Mostly, each of us does our best, given the circumstances. It is indeed a dance we do together. We begin with high hopes and high expectations of each other. We hope that the minister will want to go to all the committee meetings and visit everyone who is ill or sick at heart, and preach awesome sermons just like the previous minister did. Never mind that this minister does it all differently. I'd hoped that the board and committees would be fully staffed and energetic and full of ideas for new programs and ways of integrating all the visitors we welcome on Sunday morning. Never mind that life intervenes and you volunteers have lives outside of church. You have grandchildren to visit and work shifts in the evening, so you can't come to meetings. Never mind that you too get tired and burnt out. Where is our ministry? It is still true that the work we do together forms this community. We all do it to the best of our abilities, given time constraints and everything else. We serve not only the present, but the past and the future as well. We recall the stories of our past so they will inspire our work today. Beacon's founders laid the groundwork of a religious community they hoped would grow and thrive. They had great expectations of their future, our future. They had great expectations of us, too. These hopes and dreams color our own. I heard them loudly when I interviewed for this position. I heard them very clearly during that speed dating session known as Candidating Week, when I preached two Sundays and met as many people as possible in between. Your expectations of me have challenged me and moved me. I have been humbled by your generosity, your tenacity, your love. I've learned to do things I never thought possible and learned so much more about dancing. Things have changed over these past 7 years we have been together. We as a congregation have moved twice, including changing our service start times 3 times. There have been births and deaths, marriages and divorce. We miss those who have moved away, even as we welcome others who join us. We see new faces as choir director and director of religious education. How we accomplish administration has evolved. The shape of our congregation has changed. The food bank that we help host has taken us out into the community for several years now. Our music is carrying us to the community too. The Spring Cabaret was an example. Next, we have the Community Christmas Cabaret in December. How to be a concrete presence in the community is a problem when you don't have any concrete blocks of your own or a building. I am learning that ministry happens beyond the confines of this community, like on Facebook, and email list communities, and on the board of the Canadian Unitarian Council, and the executive of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers of Canada. We give and we receive ministry from each other in many places beyond this congregation. You may be still wondering how professional ministry differs from those ways in which you serve each other. Why should Beacon spend money on ministry if we all do it? It's pretty simple, really. Professional ministry involves specific training for the task and the role. A paid staff member usually has more qualifications and works in more areas of ministry. For example, the Board of Trustees and committees with the religious education program and outside the congregation, too. Volunteers can and do move on, as they should. A professional minister works longer and harder. They're paid to do that. This makes for continuity and better communication. The minister comes to symbolize the unity of the community, both within the congregation and outside of it. That unity, though, is really a dance, a moving, ever-changing relationship. The dance changes with new partners, whether with new membership, evolving committee composition, or a new board president. The dance changes with circumstance and need. The professional minister is a steady dance partner with whomever is there, but what the dance looks like depends on the individuals. When the relationship moves on or breaks down, Everyone wants to start again. The dance isn't over, but it changes. It is with some sadness that I have tendered my resignation. I have been honored and privileged to be a part of this congregation. I presided over a few memorial services, a couple of weddings within the congregation, and shared many more precious moments of your lives. These final months together are our opportunity to dance, especially consciously together. Who knows what will come of it? Let's make it our best year. Each of us will then move on to new challenges and new adventures. Each of us wants to keep dancing, but with a new partner. Service, ministry, is, after all, what we are called to do. It is what gives life meaning and fullness and richness. Service gives life purpose. We merely choose where and how we do it. My covenant of ordination closed with everyone saying these words to me. It is with joy that we affirm and recognize your ordination. May you continue to love fiercely and in the face of suffering. Challenge complacency. Face your own limitations honestly and with compassion. And be a source of hope and blessing to those around you. Recognizing that we too have ministries to fulfill, we promise to walk with you in unity of spirit and universality of love. In this world of pain and promise, may you carry the blessing of all of us with you wherever you serve for all of your days. Amen.